the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you.
Amen.
Lord, be with us today.
Amen.
Lord, supply us.
Amen.
Strengthen us unto the end of the inner man.
Amen.
Fill us, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, enlarge our vision.
Amen.
Refresh our vision.
Amen.
Lord, we seek you this morning concerning your young people.
Amen.
Lord, your young people this summer.
Amen.
Lord, that you'd speak to us today.
Amen.
Lord, in these four sessions.
Amen.
Lord, you speak to us concerning your purpose.
Amen.
Lord, you could minister life and truth into them.
Amen.
Minister the church and the gospel into them.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, they would be raised up.
Amen.
Oh, constituted.
Amen.
Lord, they'd be shepherded this summer.
Amen.
Lord, this morning, constitute us.
Amen.
Lord, put in us on a burden for what you're doing.
Amen.
Lord, we'd be fully burdened.
Amen.
Lord, fully open to you.
Amen.
Oh, we call on you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, fill us, Lord.
Amen.
And even give us the wisdom, Lord, as to what to speak.
Amen.
How to speak this morning.
Amen.
To stretch you, Lord, for your instant anointing.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I think as we go along, you should be getting copies of this packet, which I will be referring to a little bit as time goes on. Of course, this week, this summer, we're in this lesson book, The Church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The vision and building up of the church. And in this first session, which will go till about 10:30, then we'll have about 15 minutes of overflow and fellowship, and then a 15-minute break, and then we'll start another session at 11. Then we'll go till 12, 15 minutes of overflow, and then have lunch at 12:30. Amen. So that's our morning. In the afternoon, we'll start about 1:30, 1:15.
One hour
break for lunch.
45 minutes
thereabouts.
So we got a schedule covered in the packet.
Yeah. So you may. Yeah. Amen. So this first session this morning, we primarily want to talk about the Lord's direction in young people's work. The way in the last number of years. The brothers have been digging into more and more brotherly's fellowship.
Amen.
Much of this fellowship was originally in Chinese because it was shared in Taiwan. A lot of it has come out in this book, Raising Up the Next Generation.
Amen.
How many of you have this book? Amen. If you don't have it, you should have it. Okay, you should get a copy of this book, Raising Up the Next Generation.
And the bookstore now.
Also, recently, last few years, we've spent a lot of time in this book, The Teacher's Training.
Which is in that book.
And it is in this book, in chapters 23 and 24, in this book, is The Teacher's Training. There are some outlines in your packet that are the cover. They're kind of excerpts and cover the Teacher's Training. So we're not really going to have much opportunity to cover the details of this today. I think what we want to try to do today is incite you all to have a burden to get into the latest ministry on the direction of the young people. The fellowship this morning in this first hour is based on about 5 hours of fellowship from the brothers. Tried to squeeze it into 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
So,
talk fast.
That's only the first hour. So we'll do the best to get this information, to get the burden across here. But the point is, the Lord has taken a very clear direction with the work in the young people. Now, one of the areas where the Lord in those last few years is in this matter of the gospel.
Amen.
And a couple of years ago, the brothers were starting to share that in the past we were always very defensive with with the young people. We'd say, just don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. But eventually we realized that didn't supply life. And based on Brother Lee's view with this phrase, the seeds of the gospel, more and more, the brothers I'm specifically talking to concerning are Ricky Acosta and Tom Getz. These are the two brothers mainly who were digging into this material in fellowship with Brother Benjamin in New York. And so we follow very closely what the brothers are doing, because they're the ones that are in this material. They're the ones that are digging it out, getting into it, digesting it, and then trying to share it. So we try to follow closely. They do happen to also be on this book, The Church, this year as well. So it's very, very helpful. But this matter of the gospel and just getting into this, what this has done, just in our own experience. See, the real goal is of the children's work, the young people's work, and the college work. It's all, in Brother Lee's view, one piece.
Yeah.
One piece. So the children's work and young people's work, the goal of that is that when they come to a college campus, they'd come ready to be our co-worker. They'd be ready to be a co-worker because of they've been seeds of the gospel since they were in grade school, in children's meeting. And then they get practical experience in junior high, high school, and then when they hit the college campus, there are co-workers.
Yeah.
And we started to see some of this.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we started going out in the summer school of truth on the gospel. Our young people got stirred up, and in fact, there was not. And when we kind of had a debriefing, there wasn't a negative comment about going out in the gospel, about having gospel meetings. In fact, the only fellowship was, how can we do it better? And then a few years later, when some came to Champaign, they were ready. They were ready to have Bible studies in their dorm, ready to be co-workers. So we know it works. We've already tasted the fact that helping them get into the gospel in the summer school of truth and during the year works when it gets to the college campus. And of course, we know our real goal here is that they would be full grown in Christ. We want to bring them to be full grown in Christ. That's the long term goal. The conference we had recently in Bellevue, this matter of the direction of the Lord's recovery. When anybody heard this matter, the phrase, the direction of the Lord's recovery, what did you think?
Migration,
right. Geography.
Right.
The direction of the Lord's recovery is the building up of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
So this is the direction. The direction of the Lord's recovery is the building up of the body.
Right.
And with our young people and our labor, the direction is the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So as we're laboring with them, shepherding them, caring for them, this is our view. When we're in a children's meeting, and we'll mention children's meeting, young people, college, because it's one piece. One can't go one without the other. But as we're laboring in a children's meeting, we need to realize we're preparing them to be full grown in Christ.
Amen.
We're preparing them to be an active, functioning member in the body of Christ.
Amen.
So that they eventually could bring the Lord back. And when I was in business and consulting, when we would work with companies, it was very important that whatever position someone had, if they were assembling parts on the line, they had to have a view of what they did affected the customer. So our customer is Christ in the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our customer is God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
What we would try to do is if someone was digging in a quarry, we would help them realize, I'm building a cathedral. I'm building a great building.
Amen.
They had to have a view of what was the end result of what they were doing. It's the same thing today. We have to have everybody needs to have an end view of what we are doing.
Amen.
We're not just trying to have good children's meetings.
Amen.
We're not just trying to have good meetings or create perfect young people.
Amen.
If we are, we fail already. What we are trying to do is help ones become full-grown in Christ and help them experience Christ, experience what we are fellowshipping in the church. So even these matters, talks about the vision. This matter of focusing on experience is going to be crucial. Even when we see the vision, we need to realize, we need to help them even begin to, how can I experience what's in the vision? And we don't want to just impart knowledge. We want to help them experience what the Lord is doing. Experience what we're fellowshipping about. And this outline which we handed out, let's read the title of this outline together.
Does everybody have this outline, Ken?
Well, they should, because I handed it out to everybody. Does everybody have this outline that was handed out?
Special Young People's Work Fellowship.
Special Young People's Work Fellowship. Everybody got it, right? Okay. Let's read the title together.
Changing the concept in our service, teaching and perfecting the young people.
Okay, now let's read Romans 1 together.
Our present need is to change our concept and our system. We must learn to serve and how to serve with others. And we must remember not to replace the saints, but rather bringing them into the service with us.
This is a very, this fellowship, this concept, not replacing but bringing them into service with us, with us, is the fellowship that goes through this whole first hour, really through the whole day. Our labor in the Summer School of Truth is to bring them into service with us. We're not just there trying to teach them. Teaching and messages don't work. We need to help them come into service with us. I want you to read, come over and read now, if you flip it over, Roman numeral 5 together.
In the Word and in the Church, we are not measured by whether or not we are capable. We are measured by how many useful ones we are able to produce. The standard of success does not depend on our ability to do a certain thing. The standard is determined by how many useful ones we can produce.
So that's the standard. So how many useful ones are we able to produce? Can we raise up ones who can raise up others? If you see, watch Paul, and you look at what, if you follow Paul, his focus was to raise ones up, to raise up others. He raised up Timothy and said, and in his fellowship with Timothy was to raise others up also. You see, he raised up Silas. He raised up Mark. Paul would raise ones up and help them learn to do what he was doing. This is the key focus, and this is our burden. And that's what this outline is all about. And we will get through the outline. I want to read. This is your brother Andrew. You shared really three classes of saints in the church life. And class C is ones who are kind of watching, but they're not really participating that much. Just kind of come to meetings maybe and kind of watch, don't participate that much. Class B, they're the ones that are very active, doing a lot, active in the church life. Very caring, you know, in all the service groups and so forth. But what's Class A? Class A is the ones who raise up others to do what they are doing. That's Class A. And so this is the burden, that we would be ones know how to raise up others, not working and replacing the saints, but rather always having someone we're shepherding and caring for. And these are seven emphases in our work that Andrew you gave. And I'll read them slowly here. Our emphasis is not on what we do, but on the people we've perfected. So not on what we do, but on the people we've perfected. Not on getting things done, but on getting people involved. So not on getting things done, but on getting people involved. Not on maintaining what we have, but on gaining more to do what we do. Sometimes you just want to maintain. But, you know, the Lord said, do business until I come. So we need to have ones. We need to perfect ones to do what we do.
Amen.
Not, okay, our emphasis is not on working ourselves, but on perfecting others to work.
Amen.
Not on working ourselves, but on perfecting others to work. Next one. Very interesting. Our emphasis is not on our success in the work, but on others' success in the work.
Amen.
Think about that for a minute.
Amen.
Our emphasis is not on our success, but on others' success in the work.
Amen.
Others we've raised up to do a better job than we're doing.
Amen.
Okay, again, think of all this in context with this year's Summer School of Truth in the matter of the church and the gospel. Church and the gospel. Not on doing a direct work, but on doing an indirect work. I don't do it in a direct work, but I'm doing an indirect work. And not merely working on man, but working through man. So it's seven emphases. Not really working on man, but through man.
Amen.
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 So this is really the Lord's burden today. And that in this Summer School of Truth, when we're on the church, and these will be the two emphases, main emphases, but there'll be another one be mentioned also a little bit later on. I won't get into that one now. But be thinking how to bring them into the experience of the church. An experience. Now, this book, The Teacher's Training, as we prepare, and the reason we want, you know, we really encourage so many to be here is that we would have a refreshed vision.
Amen.
And we would know what is the vision and the burden this year of Summer School of Truth. But I just want to read a paragraph at the end of, on the end of page 43 in this book. I'll give you kind of a picture. I would encourage you to prepare, it's on page 43 in the teacher's training. I would encourage you to prepare not only by yourself, but with others who would be teaching the young people. Come together with several others and check every point of every lesson according to experience. This is the other key aspect. Experience. Our experience that we can share there with them experience. In addition, practice converting doctrinal points into experience. Doctrinal points into experience. This would be a good preparation for teaching in an experiential way. If you do this, the summer school will be of great benefit, not only to the young people, but to the entire church. Let's take this way to teach the young people in the Summer School of Truth. So, the way of experience, converting the points into experience. Does everybody have a packet by now? Haven't handed the mat yet? Oh, okay. Yeah.
We could do that now.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that now. Because I did want to briefly refer to that. They're being handed out. There's really, you know, Four aspects we're always burdened to care for with the young people. Life, truth, the church, and the gospel. And these are the four pillars in the Lord's recovery. Life, truth, the church, and the gospel. So when we have the young people's meetings, we're really trying to help them exercise in the way of life. Be in life, be supplied with life, be full of life, exercised in spirit. Then, of course, the Summer School of Truth itself brings them into this matter of the truth. And we desire them to have a full knowledge of the truth. So with the children, our effort, our labor, is to bring them gradually to the point where they get regenerated.
Amen.
Then they get saved. Then our labor is to, with the young people, bring them into the full knowledge of the truth and begin to perfect them.
Amen.
Bring them to the point where they are laboring with us.
Amen.
Amen. And then the church and the gospel. So these two matters, the church and the gospel, are what we are doing, laboring very much in this summer school of truth. The church and the gospel. Now, so in the back part of this, towards the back, you see a section called Teachers Training 2012 Serving One's Packet. Partway through, in the back, towards the back, you'll see a page that looks like this.
These are packed up a little different, some books. Anyway, look for this page.
And behind that, you see the outline that comes from the teacher's training book and some ministry excerpts.
What's the header on the front page?
The proper understanding of teaching. Seeing the uniqueness of the Bible. It says Northeast Teachers Training 2011. Yeah, this came from the Northeast Teachers Training from last year, and we just reproduced it this year. So we're not going to really get over it. We want you to know that it's there. These are one of the things we would encourage you to get into. And those two outlines one and two. Outline one is messages 3 and 4 in the teacher's training, 1 and 2 in the teacher's training. Outline two, learning to teach God's economy in an experiential way, is messages 3 and 4 in the teacher's training. Okay, we just want you to see this is here. Then there are two outlines with excerpts, outlines 3 and 4 with excerpts, on practical help for conducting the small group sessions. And conducting the small group sessions is really where everything comes together for the teacher's training. That's why it's important to see, okay, Lord, to see where our burden is this time. Because in the small group session is where you're going to be, everybody will be with a small group. So we have small groups after every meeting. A sharing, a small group session. So we need to bring the young people into the experience of these sessions.
Amen.
Now, somewhere in this packet should be the lesson schedule for this year. Charlie, did you hear somewhere?
Right about third page.
Yeah.
Okay. Third page. I may not have it in my packet.
Here you go, Ken. Hold that up so the saints can see what.
Yeah, this is what we're looking for. The lesson schedule. Find it in there?
So anyway, just
a little example here,
yeah,
about turning things into experience. Mm-hmm. Notice on Monday, the evening message is on the statuses of the church.
Yeah.
Now, one of the statuses of the church, we'll see, is the assembly.
Yeah.
So we don't want to just give them a doctrine about assembly. We want them to realize, I need to assemble. So we're not just, you know, and we need to take every point in every lesson and do the same thing with it. I want to assemble. Not just know that, oh, the church is an assembly, that's great. How about my relationship to the church? Amen. Is that, do I have this relationship of assembly? Now, some of these lessons, and there'll be much, the brothers will go into more detail later on. But like Wednesday, the meetings and the serving in the church. Okay, now that's very experiential. The burden is to really bring them into this matter. But the point is, all through the week, we need to help bring them into this matter of the experience. Bring them into this matter of realizing, I need to be in every, you know, and find ways. Find ways. So it's going to take our extra labor, our extra effort. And that's why I wanted to read that portion. Bring every point into it. Check every point and lesson according to experience. So keep this realization in mind. Some of the lessons will be more on vision, but we have to make the vision practical for their experience. Some of the lessons will be very practical. The same thing with the matter of the gospel. Now obviously, we will be going out on the gospel, and again, the brothers will fellowship more about that. But again, bringing them into this matter of the experience,
amen,
being burdened,
amen,
for the gospel. And so, you know, Proverbs 27:33, it talks about knowing the condition of the flock. So we need to know the situation with the young people. And that's why you look at this schedule and you think, well, certain lessons are being combined, and we're spending less time on some than on others. And the reason being is, what is the current situation? What is the current need? And among all the young people in the churches in general, and ours as well, our situation here as well, is that there's been, in a sense, a parallel church life. The young people have had their church life, and the adults have had their church life. And we need to bring them together. We need to bring them together. And that's the real burden this time. Bring them together and not to have a separate church life.
Amen.
So let's look at this. Let's look at this outline in more detail now. Let's read A together.
We should not say that the saints have no capacity. The problem is that we are short in perfecting them. If we do a perfecting work, their capabilities will be brought forth.
Okay, now we're doing... Okay, I brought 60 of them, so there should be enough.
You need some more back row in the back row?
Okay. Here's one. I don't know. Where did the rest of them go?
I'll go again.
Are there 60 in the room? Maybe there are. Okay. So, as we're laboring with the young people this summer, this is what we're trying to do. To help them bring their capabilities forth.
Let's read it again.
Okay. We should not say that the saints have no capacity. The problem is that we are short in perfecting them. If we do a perfecting work, their capabilities will be brought forth.
Amen.
And B.
They must be perfected to do more than attend meetings, listen to messages, and help take care of some business affairs. These matters cannot draw out the interest and capacity of the saints.
And see,
it is regrettable that we have neither learned to bring the saints into the service, nor learned to perfect the saints. Instead, we do everything by ourselves, and thus unconsciously replace the saints.
So, Paul, when he was laboring, he labored very much to bring Timothy. If we look at 1 Timothy 2:2, 2 Timothy 2:2. Together.
And the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also.
So Paul, when he was perfecting Timothy, told him, shared with him, with the things you have heard, what you have heard, commit to others. So this is our burden with the young people. We would bring them into the experience that they could bring others into the experience. We would bring them into the gospel that they could bring others into the gospel. That we would bring them into the service in the church that they could bring others into the service in the church. So this summer school of truth is ideal on the church, is the ideal for working on them, for accomplishing this, for accomplishing the burden that we're going to see as we go through this outline. The vision and building up of the church is bringing others into the experience of the church life as we go through the lessons. And Paul, when he first saw Timothy, he realized he was someone who was well attested to. And he took him with him. And then in Philippians, let's look at Philippians 2:22. Actually, 19 through 22. Philippians 2, 19 through 22. But
I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged by knowing the things concerning you. For I have no one like Saul who will genuinely care for what concerns you. For all seek your own things, not the things of Christ Jesus, but you know his approvedness, that as a child with a father, he has served with me unto the gospel.
Amen. So, when Paul saw Timothy, he took with him, on the missionary journey, and they wound up in Philippi. And that's where Paul and Silas, who was with them, were put in prison. Now, if you look closely, obviously, Timothy and Luke were also with them, but not in prison. They were probably in Lydia's house. But here's young Timothy on his first missionary journey, seeing how to serve the Lord and how to suffer for the Lord.
Amen.
And how to suffer with rejoicing for the Lord.
Amen.
So this is how Paul brought Timothy on. He brought him with him on this missionary journey and showed him in a way of experience how to serve the Lord and how to suffer with the Lord. And eventually, then he was able to say how useful Timothy was.
Yeah,
so as we look at our young people, we need to consider, how can I come bring them on with me? How can I be with them in the gospel? How can I help them in the church life, in the church service? How can we be with them? This is what is so, so crucial. And Paul, he brought Silas along. And eventually, Paul put Silas together, and Silas and Timothy together. Other places, Timothy and Mark were together. So he would put them together, he would bring them along, and then put them together so they could serve. He was not afraid. He did not try to do it all himself. He brought others along to serve with him. And then he got to the point where he could leave Timothy someplace and say, Timothy, take care of this. He left him in Ephesus, I believe it was, and say, then take care. But he brought him on so that he could be someone who could bear Paul's burden. And then eventually he was like Saul. So we need to care for the young people so they become like Saul with us.
Amen.
And this does not come from messages. This comes from being with them.
Yeah.
Being a pattern, but having them go along with us. So as we're considering this summer, consider, how can I be a pattern to the young people?
Amen.
Even during the course of the year,
right.
How can I be with them? How can I help them in the gospel? How can I bring them in to the church service? In this booklet, How to Lead the Young People, which is also in the teacher's training, Brother Lee talked about just having big meetings and messages is not the thing. He said we need to bring the young people with us and even care for them and shepherd them. And he gave one example of how this one dear one was on the way to the movies, and someone picked him up and shepherded him and said, "Okay, I'll give you the money, and then when you get home, when you get out, I'll come back and pick you up." And he says, and he let him know, "I'm on the way to a meeting," but he didn't beat him down. He just took care of him. He just shepherded him. He just came alongside of him. If we want, in order to help, one of the things we do a lot, maybe overdo, is cherishing. We love to have the young people cherished, but besides cherishing, do we help perfect them? For example, if we take them out to dinner, do we take them out to dinner to just cherish them? Or maybe when we're with them, at some point do we ask them, "Do you have any friends you want to pray for? Can I help you make a list? Can we pray for your friends? Can we spend some time with your friends? Can you invite your friends to a dinner? How's the best way to reach your friend?" So we need to have this kind of view to help, not to preach to ones,
right.
Not to give just messages,
right.
But how, like Paul, how to bring them into the service with us, how to bring them into all the various types of services. Remember when my children were young, they were cleaning the meeting hall doors in Rogers Park with Art Ennis. Now, most of you don't remember Rogers Park, but a few of you do.
I had a lot of doors.
But the point is, they were brought into the service early on. And we need to find ways to bring our young people into all the types of service. So I think we read C. Let's read C1 together.
Since we do not teach the new ones how to bring others into function, they will repeat our pattern of doing everything by themselves. After a period of time, any work in their hands will also come to a standstill.
Oh Lord, too.
We learn when we do things, but we learn more when we teach others. If we do not teach others, our learning is incomplete. When we teach others, we are forced to consider things thoroughly.
You know, our own peculiarity and disposition is dealt with when we have to labor to bring others into what we do. You know, it's much easier to just do it my way. That was a famous song, right?
Yeah.
Do it my way. Well, it's very much easier to do it my way. It really deals with our peculiarity to help bring someone else with a different disposition and personality into what we do.
Yeah.
And then let them do it according to their function. But not carelessly, though. We kind of still oversee. Paul would oversee. Brother Lee was perfected by Watchman Nee. You all heard the story. 5 minutes before the meeting starts, there was a message passed under the door. "You take the message today." Brother Lee thought Watchman Nee was sick. But no, he was just listening behind the door to see how Brother Lee shared. So he was perfecting him, but he didn't just walk away. So we really have to learn how to help ones, put something in their hands, and perfect them without criticizing them, but help give them the right instruction. We need to give, we need to help. This is how we need to help ones. This is how we work in young people's work. Okay, let's read D together.
We must change our system and change our concept. We must teach and train the saints in order for them to be useful. Otherwise, no matter how much we preach the gospel, it will be difficult for us to gain the increase.
So, we need to help them preach the gospel. We need to help the young people preach the gospel. We need to help the young people be involved in the service. Okay, let's read Romans 2 together.
In addition to enjoying the Lord, a Christian should serve and work. In order to be healthy, a person must eat, rest, work, and be sufficiently active.
So we don't want to spoil our young people by over-cherishing them. We need to, when we help them get revived, then we need to help them get into the service. They need to be serving once. We need to have them involved in the ushering service. In the children, in the young people helping with the children's meetings. They can serve in the guitar playing service group, in the music service group. So many different areas of the church life they can serve in. They can be involved in. So our second generation needs more than just to enjoy the Lord. After getting revived, they need to be in the service. So the service is their salvation, helping to bring them into the service.
Amen.
Okay, let's read A together.
According to our experience and observation, the young people need to be exercised in the spiritual activity of going forth to bear fruit. The easiest time for Christians to bear fruit is when they are young.
Wow, the easiest time to bear fruit is when they are young. So we need to help them. We need to help them. We don't need to tell them you need to be burdened. We need to help them be burdened. We need to help them to enter into our burden. If we're burdened, we need to help them enter into our burden for the gospel, our burden for the church service. We need to labor this way this year in the Summer School of Truth. Help them enter into our burden. They need to realize we're burdened for the gospel. We help them enter in. We don't do it for them, but we help them enter in to our burden.
Amen.
B, together.
The young people should also learn to function in the meetings of the church. The young people who are high school age should begin to bear some responsibility in their spiritual family.
C.
We should endeavor to bring the young people into the practice of the church life through the children's work and the practical service in the church.
1.
The young people should also bear responsibility in the children's meeting in every local church. The children's work is not less important than the young people's work.
2.
As energy and time allow, the young people should also take part in other miscellaneous services of the church. In these services, the young saints are spontaneously blended into the church life through the practical coordination and fellowship with saints of all ages, including their peers.
So your brother Lee had eyes. He knew how to help ones function. He knew where the best place for them to function was. So we need to have eyes to find out ways to help our young people to function.
Amen.
So look at this. Consider this book as an opportunity this year.
Amen.
An opportunity to help the young people enter into the church.
Amen.
It's a great opportunity. As we're considering these lessons, how do I help them enter in? I have a burden for the church. How do I help them enter into the burden for the church? So that's our view. That's our goal this year with the young people.
Amen.
Okay, D.
We should endeavor to bring the young people into the practice of the church life through the homes. The small group becomes our practical church life.
So the young people, they should be in the group meetings. They need to be in the group meetings, in the church life. They need to begin to see the church. It's their church life.
Right.
This is our burden. This is our goal. And we have, again, this summer we have a great opportunity to help the young people be burdened and involved with church life. So it becomes their church life. A lot of times, as they're in you see them in college, they're going through this transition of the church life becoming their church life. Because in the young people's work, they really did not have much participation in the church life. They weren't participating in it. So then they come to college. Now we're helping them begin to transition into it's my church life. Oh, now I need to do the survey. But we need to be doing this much earlier.
Right.
We need to be doing this from children's meeting.
Amen.
From the young people.
Amen.
Then it will be their church life. And then we won't lose many of the ones we're losing. When the church life becomes their church life, they realize, oh, this is mine. This is what I do. I'm burdened. But we need to be those that know how to bring them into the same burden we have. As we're with them. You know, we share our burden, we find out what is on their heart. What are their needs? What are you and their friends? And what's your feeling about the church life? What's your feeling about the service group? What service group would you like to be on? But we need to, we don't necessarily do that the first time we go out with them. But we need to consider, who am I going to come alongside? Who am I going to shepherd? Who am I going to care for? So even this year in the Summer School of Truth, as we're laboring, we need to realize, Lord, these ones need shepherding during the year. Summer School of Truth is a great time to have them together, have them revived. But then once they're revived, we need to help them right away into the service when we come back.
Amen.
Into the service of the gospel, into the other services of the church life. So they'll get some vision, they'll get some stirring up, they'll get some reviving. But we need to help them and then be right away into these matters in the church life. Okay, three. We must pay attention to a fundamental point in the young people's work, which is that we must bring them into working with us. We must bring them into working with us. And again, in Acts 16, Paul brought Timothy into the work with him. The natural way is we do it ourselves. The trained way is we work through others. Catch that. Natural way, we do it ourselves. The trained way, we work through others.
Amen.
So we need to be those in the trained way, working through others. Okay, let's read A.
We should not replace others in whatever we do. However, we often do the work by ourselves and thus replace others. This is the natural way to work. We need to be aggressive and learn how to preach the gospel in a school without ever setting foot in the school.
Let's read that last phrase again together.
We need to be aggressive and learn how to preach the gospel in a school without ever setting foot in the school.
So we need to learn how to do this. How to preach the gospel without actually being ourselves on the campus. That's the ultimate goal. But it takes a transition. It takes getting there. It's getting there. So that doesn't mean we instantaneously change what we're doing, but this is our view. Our view is, how do we work through the students? And Brother Lee in some of his fellowship talk about having a work on the grade school campuses.
Wow.
And on the high school campuses. Okay, so we can't go onto a grade school campus. We can't go onto a high school campus. But and I'll just touch a little bit now on the fellowship with the children for a minute. Of course, the work with the children, the end game is they're seeds of the gospel. They're seeds of the gospel when they go to college. So we need to have this view. When we're working with the children, they're seeds of the gospel. And the main thing with the children is to build up their humanity. Not just their character, their humanity. There is a difference. And I'll just give you a couple of quick points here. Our humanity, building up the humanity means, do they have compassion? Do they have forgiveness? Do they feel other people's pain? Do they have a pity for others? Do they have a sympathy for others? So building up the humanity means we study all the human virtues. And as their children, help them see through our fellowship what it's like to have compassion on one, what it's like to have pity, sympathy. That would prepare them to receive the Lord. So then their virtues are proper. Then when they receive the Lord, His attributes can fill their proper virtues.
Amen.
Now, of course, it includes character. It includes proper ethics and morality and character. But it's more than just character. See, it's these softer issues of relating to people, caring for others, honoring the parents, honoring the ones in school. Then the scope of the children's work is the family life, neighborhood children meeting, and the children's meeting church life. Now, the children's meeting in the neighborhood, or how are children seeds of the gospel? Well, it's simple, but not simple. How to carry it out. But our children invite their friends. Okay? We sing some songs. Give them a cookie. Tell them a Bible story. Send them home. Tell them how much God loves them. Tell our children, God loves you. Your friends want to know how much God loves them. We're not preaching the gospel. We're not getting them to preach the gospel. Just to help their friends realize God loves me. So right away they're becoming seeds of the gospel. And as children, they're talking about God and God's love. So we're putting this burden in them from children, so that they can have the burden to care for their friends. They would be caring. That's proper humanity. Proper humanity is a caring humanity. So they would care for others. And then when they get saved, this caring goes to now preaching the gospel and getting my other friends saved. From just caring about my friends and bringing my friends to hear that God loves them, sing some songs, hear some stories about the Bible. And there have been some really good success stories about just this type of meeting in different parts of the world. But then, now, young people, junior high and high school, they're saved. Now they're already prepared. We already have it in their heart to be seeds of the gospel. It's already in them to speak to their friends, to care for their friends, now by speaking about the Lord. And bringing them to love the Lord. And so this is what it means by proper humanity. So to help ones have this type of relationship and caring for others. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this is really how to preach the gospel in a school without setting foot in the school. We help them to be burdened for their friends. And then there could be a work. And again, there are some good examples, some good testimonies about different ones in high schools that had a work. Just these ones got saved, got burdened. And I'm talking about today among the churches. The ones getting burdened and sharing with their friends and having a little Bible study and a group there at school and nobody can go in the school, but the kids are carrying it out. So we need to learn how to do this. Be together.
We must always apply this principle, no matter where we serve. The work must belong to the saints, to the point that they are asking the workers for assistance, rather than relying on them to do everything.
So, in every aspect of our service, not just with the children, but every aspect of our service, we need to bring others into. So we always need to be considering, who am I bringing into this service?
Amen.
So that if I go somewhere else, the service will continue. We won't. This needs to be. That's why these first couple of points we shared early on. The success of our work is measured by how many useful ones we are able to produce.
Amen.
Okay. See together.
In order to produce a useful brother, we must spend a few months to labor and gain him. by working on him until he is burdened to preach the gospel in his school.
One, together.
We should spend time with him by fellowshipping with him, having meals with him, and leading him to pray until the younger brother begins to love the Lord, is revived, and becomes willing to preach the gospel in his school.
Okay, you notice this is not giving him a message. This is being with him, shepherding him, caring for him. You know, when Brother Lee was actually going to be with the Lord, a sister asked him, what was the most important thing, what was the most important work you had? What was the most important aspect of your work before the Lord? And she expected something about the life study or something. He said, my one-on-one labor. My one-on-one labor with the saints.
Amen.
This is what Brother Lee saw as the most important aspect. The one-on-one labor. So the Lord needs to give us a view and a vision to have the one-on-one labor. Two, we must
work on the young people until they are raised up and until they are more zealous and more serious about the work than we are.
More zealous, more serious about the work than we are. And three,
if this is the way we serve, every school will be open to us, both university students and junior high school students, and be gained in this way.
And again, I want to stress the emphasis here. Brother Lee didn't have three separate sections. He just looked at it as he called it one piece. One piece. And so we need to have the view, wherever I am. If we're with the young people, we need to be considering at least burden for what the Lord's doing with the children. And burden and realizing what's the burden that they have for them when they get into the university. And with the university, which is where I am, I'm burdened for the high school.
Amen.
The high school, the junior high, there's children. We need to be burdened. Because ultimately we want them to be full grown in Christ.
Amen.
We want them to be ones who bring the Lord back.
Amen.
We want them to be the ones that turn the age.
Amen.
Change the age. But it's bringing them into not just knowing about the church. This particular summer school of truth, we need to bring them into the experience of the church.
Amen.
This needs to be our burden. Lord, how do I do this? Lord, how do I bring them into the experience of the church life?
Amen.
And of course, one of the messages is actually it'll be Wednesday night, the Holy Royal and Gospel Priesthood for the building up of the body. So Wednesday night is on the gospel. So again, a big part of this matter is we're sharing, as we're going through the Summer School of Truth, not just waiting for that message, but how can I bring them into this reality as we're going through the different lessons? And can have them still thinking about the gospel. But to bring them in, and Brother Lee was very burdened about these areas, that they would have, the young people would have ownership. They'd have ownership by serving, by functioning in the church life and preaching the gospel. These areas, Brother Lee was very burdened for the church life and the gospel. The church life and the gospel. And so the church life, ownership by serving and by functioning in the meetings. So we need to say, Lord, how can we help them serve? How can we help them function in the meetings? Okay, room and four together.
In every school, we must produce young saints who are very burdened, and we only assist and supply them from a distance.
We assist and supply from a distance. Hey, together.
On one hand, we should not be afraid to let others serve, but on the other hand, we should watch them. That is, we must oversee.
So we let others serve, but we oversee. So based on our experience, we help them, but we help them to learn better than we learned. But again, this is what deals with our disposition and our peculiarities, because they may have their disposition is going to be a little bit different. So we need to help them to serve in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Okay, one.
After we hand things over, we should stand behind and watch the situation. This will enable us to see how well the person is doing.
And two,
we should have the assurance that after so many years of observing, listening, and learning, the saints are able to bear responsibility. We should be at peace to commit matters into their hands. The saints simply need a little guiding.
Okay, sisters B.
The supply should not be in the way of leading the students in a meeting, and this supply cannot be met by giving a message. What we supply should meet the students' real need.
Amen. Brothers 1.
When the young saints ask for help, we should be ready to help them. If we cannot help them, they will not ask for help again.
In helping ones to bear responsibility, or helping trying to bring others into doing what we do, it takes longer. Sometimes it's a lot easier and quicker, and the job may even be done better, at least initially, if we do it ourselves. And that's where it's dealing with our disposition of peculiarity. Is we need to help them, let them make some mistakes. And sometimes they will learn from the mistakes. Sometimes we need to help them learn from the mistakes. But we need to learn to help them. Okay. Sisters, too.
If the young saints learn something that they can apply, they will return for more help. Then we can give them further direction.
Amen. Brothers, 3.
At this point, the work will be borne by both the students and the worker, because the students carry it out at school, and the worker helps as needed. If we work in this way, it will be easy to gain a school.
So, the students carry it out, the worker helps as needed, and we can gain a school. This is the view of laboring with the young people. This year... we have the perfect opportunity because the book is on the church. So how to bring them into the laboring in the church life. So every lesson, every session, we need to say, how can I bring them into the reality of this session? Not just they would know knowledge, but how do I bring them into the reality of practicing the church life? Okay, let's read 5 again.
And the work and in the church, we are not measured by whether or not we are capable. We are measured by how many useful ones we are able to produce. The standard of success does not depend on our ability to do a certain thing. The standard is determined by how many useful ones we can produce.
So the standard is determined by how many useful ones. So this summer, it seems to be our prayer.
Amen.
Lord, help us produce useful ones. Amen. Among the students. Mm. Lord, as we're together, Lord, how to produce useful ones in the church life.
Amen.
Useful ones in their school. And these are the two areas they can serve in many aspects in the church life, but they need to be seeds of the gospel.
Amen.
They need to be active. This will protect them. This, they'll have gospel shoes on. Being active in the gospel will protect them from the things of the world.
Amen.
Right away, they go to preach the gospel. Their friends realize, "Oh, okay. I know what you know. Okay, I won't mess with you.
Right.
At least I won't try to bring you into what I'm in."
Right.
But so it will protect them. So this matter, the seeds of the gospel.
Right.
So these are the two real burdens this summer. And the brothers will share more about this, and we'll share more, see more about the details of the book as well. Okay, let's have a try to cram all that into 1 hour of sharing. I don't know how well that went, but anyway, hallelujah. So let's. This outline, by the way, this outline came from the book, Shepherding the Church and Perfecting the Young People, particularly chapters 3, 5, and 7. 3, 5, and 7. So let's have some prophesying. If you prophesy, hold this.
How about we have very many just share something very short so that we all can learn? Maybe I'll start real quick. I enjoy this matter of the one piece. we're doing one work. Right? We all have one goal. Our goal is to build up the body of Christ. And we should have a view, this kind of view. And actually, it just really uplifts our honoring of one another. You know, more I serve with older ones, the more I appreciate the ones who serve with the even the youngest children. Right? We need all of us caring for all the different age groups all the way through, that eventually we all together can build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
So how about we have many more? Just share something short. Who's next? You got to take this.
I like that word together Marty just shared. I was impressed by all the young ones should not be have a separate work or a separate service or this, that, and the other, but they should be integrated into the church life. And with that point, Dee should endeavor to bring the young people into the practice of the church life through the homes. That's a very practical point. We have a small meeting on Friday night that the kids gather, they have dinner, play the guitar together, and we're endeavoring to bring them into the church life in that way through the homes.
Amen.
Who's next? Excuse me.
I had opportunity to see some of these things. I worked, labored with a brother who saw some of these things about bringing the others into, and I was really helped by him. And what helped me, I think, practically the most was he would somewhat challenge in a good way. He would, anything we would do, did you go to the grocery store by yourself? In other words, if you're preparing a meal, or the brothers that are going to do the gospel tracts, who did you bring with you? He would ask in a gentle way. That really helped me because sometimes it seems so hard to kind of grab onto a young person. What do I do with them? It's kind of awkward, but he helped me to see whatever you do, bring somebody with you. And when we did, it was so sweet. So much came out. You stop for a Coke on the way. They help you carry a bunch of stuff. You ask them, how should we go? How should we get there? Which way should we take? Oh, it was so sweet. We have a way, saints. Amen.
Who's next?
Yeah, I appreciate the same thing Amy shared, that we need to help people do what we do. And I have like two kind of hang-ups with this. One is, you know, as Ken was sharing, it's like the natural way is just do it yourself. It's faster. It's easier, right? Yeah, it turns out better, right? I'm making cupcakes with my kids. It looks a lot better if I frost them. But also, I always feel like, oh, I don't want to bother somebody. You know, it's like the young people, it's like, oh, gosh, like, I hate to put them on children's service. Oh, poor young people, like, there's, you know, too much trouble for them. But it's like, that's so bad. They're never going to learn. They're never going to grow. And they don't have the opportunity to enjoy the Lord in that way. So, amen. I need this message.
Praise the Lord. I love the title, Changing the Concept in Our Service. I think this is, for me, is a really key matter. Maybe we serve for many years in the church and we consider our service is very good. And we consider sometimes maybe the children meeting or young people meeting is so good. But an experience really, I think the Lord is speak to us today. Our change, our concept, and our service is to really, you know, I need to be empty, absolutely empty, for the Lord put something new today. For the young people, go on. For the children, go on. No, only I don't want to have only good meetings. I to really want they grow fully in Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, I really like one point here. It's Roman number 4:1, and says when the young saints ask for help, we should be ready to help them. If we cannot help them, they will not ask for help again. I'm pretty new. It's my first training on teacher training, and I really like the whole message because I can see how short I am and how new I am, and then and pretty much I'm meeting with the saints in Waukeer now, and there are a couple jungles that start coming out, you know, in the meetings. And then when they ask, thanks, Brother Jose is there, you know. But when they ask something, and sometimes I don't know how to explain them or how to tell them, you know. So this turned me, you know, to the Lord to be more prepared, more, you know, training, more, you know, have experience. So teach them. And then, and like the point says, if we're not ready to help them, they're going to ask with to somebody else. And we have to take care of that. Amen.
I like this point on under Roman numeral 1. It says, we learn when we do things, but we learn more when we teach others. If we do not teach others, our learning is incomplete. When we teach others, we are forced to consider things thoroughly. Praise the Lord, this is really true. And I also think the point just above it, you know, it's kind of a good check sometimes. In our service and in our in any kind of work, if we find that the things in our hands have come to a standstill, that's kind of a good sign that probably we're not including other people because we're just handling it ourselves. So this is a really good check there.
Yeah, this is really good. This morning, I was actually listening to the radio. I was listening to Moody, and it was talking about young people. And so they were talking about how come we lose so many young people. Right. You know, it's the high school years, you lose them, and the college years, we hope to gain them back, is how it keeps going. And he said there was like two mentalities there. He said one was that high schoolers are in school 5 days a week, and they see going to a meeting as more school. They have to sit there and listen some more. So they're bored. They don't want to come. You know, and he said another mentality is they're becoming adults. And so they're trying to make decisions for themselves. And so they don't want to just go to the meetings because their parents are going to the meetings. They want to go to a meeting because they want to go to a meeting. So this is really big in bringing them into service and teaching them, even at a young age. I mean, we need to start in these high school and junior high ages, you know, sitting down with them and reading the Word with them and showing them that, you know, this is for them. It's not just for us. Getting them into service, helping them with, the, you know, even the, a lot of, I see a lot of high school sisters serving with the young kids. It's very, very good to show them that this is their church too. It's not just their parents' church. You know, this is very important in order to keep the young ones in the church life, so it's not a drop and then hope to gain them back later. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's perfect. I would turn it even exactly around. You know, instead of saying you have 5 days at school, now you come on Saturday or Lord's Day and you have more school, I would say on Saturday and Lord's Day you're on the gospel, now you have five more days to go on the gospel. You know what I mean? That should be their attitude, right? That's how, you know, that's how you preserve them at school, is they realize, you know, they get a taste for the gospel and they realize these days at school, you know, okay, yes, I need to work hard, have good character, you know, I need to get good grades or do my best. But my real purpose here, what I love the most, is inviting my friends to the meeting, watching my friends get saved, watching my friends grow in life. You know what I mean? And so even school becomes something like that to them. And we have, you know, like Ken said, we taste something like this. You know, our whole situation in Hyde Park has been revived because we have a couple little seeds of the gospel on the campus. Just two little sisters. You know what I mean? You can't despise, you know, the smallest members. They have absolutely turned everything around, just inviting their friends. I mean, sometimes dozens of them come because these two little sisters just open their mouth and say, would you like to come to a meeting? You know, and they have that view. I'm not at school just to, you know, do things, but this, you know, my whole church life is day to day, you know, Monday through Monday, you know, every single day is for the church life.
I really enjoyed this fellowship and this outline, and was encouraged to think that we can, you know, we gather for this once a year fellowship so that we can be in one burden. And we can encourage one another to go on in this way. And I feel like this is such a revolutionary kind of change in the way of our thinking, in my thinking, that I need the encouragement, and I need the I need to be prodded. You know, this is really exposing the so in particular, you know, that not doing everything ourselves, but having a mind to think not just about getting it done, but about how many you've perfected, how many have you brought to become useful. This should be our goal, and we should remind one another about this. Amen.
I really saw that this is kind of a concept that we would separate the church life from our daily life, especially with the young people. But if we're for the gospel, if we go wherever we go, we're ready for the gospel. Then whether we go to the grocery store and take a sister, a young sister with us, we're always available for the Lord to speak to us. So we're walking down the aisle and we speak to someone and they see the pattern. Then it's really easy. I mean, it's easy for us to do that. It's easy for them to see that, oh, this is my daily life. This is not just a so-called church life away from, you know, this is not separate from my normal life. And it's like perfecting your children in your family life. It's a big family life, and we're perfecting one another, and we're perfecting the younger ones, how to be absolute, that our whole living would be in the Lord, that we don't have separate lives and put separate clothes on, but that we really have a church life, that Christ is the center of everything, and that our desire is to, you know, that He would be satisfied. And this is very normal. This should be normal with us. And then it can be normal with them as we live our daily life. They can be part of our daily life as we shepherd them. Even in the true school, this would just be special to them, that they could be with others, not something separate from their daily human life. So.
Okay, we're going to take a little break.